Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 457. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, sponsorships, please let me know at Rabbi Yismach at take10fortorah.org. Today's 10 is sponsored L'Refuah Shalema of Avraham Nachum David Ben Rezal. So in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Kisisa, we have the second mention of a very well-known phrase, L'Tavashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, one may not cook a kid in its mother's milk. Of course, we already learned this in Shmos, in Parshas Mishpatim. This is the second time in Sefer Shmos. Here it is in Parshas Kisisa. And of course, it comes up in Sefer Devarim as well. Now, each time the context is slightly different. It never has its own pasuk, but it's found in a pasuk concerning Bikurim the first two times that it appears in Shmos. And in Devarim, it finds itself in a pasuk that relates to Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela. You can't eat any animal, which, even if a kosher animal, was killed via non-shechita. It was killed in a non-shechita means it can't be eaten. Specifically in Shmos, you have very similar psukim where it's presented, and it says, Reishis Bikuri Ad Mascha Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha, and both psukim says the same thing, Reishis Bikuri Ad Mascha Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha, and then finally, Lo Savashel Gedi Mechal Levimo, and that Reishis of the Tavua refers to the Bikurim, the first fruits, that would be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. A couple of psukim before, in both scenarios, you have the issue, or I should say the command of Shalosh Pamim Bashana, Yira'eh Kol Zechurchas Pnei Ha'adon Hashem. Three times a year, we go up, Aliyah L'Regel, we go up on the holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So of course, there's a tremendous amount of discussion around why it says it three times. The assumption is if it's going to be said three times, there must be a reason that it's said so many times. But of course, there's also discussion about why specifically is it said around these contexts. So to begin, we know classically, the Gemara Chulin tells us, Tanad Beri Bishmal, the reason it's three times is to prohibit three particular behaviors. Number one, you can't cook milk and meat together, even if it's not related. It's not actually a kid and its mother. We'll get to that in a moment, I hope. You can't cook them together, even if you don't eat it, just the act of cooking. Number two, Isra Achila, you can't eat them if somebody else cooked it. But again, it only refers to the Torah's prohibition if it was cooked together. If it wasn't cooked together and you eat it, there's a rabbinic prohibition, but the Torah's prohibition is specifically A, to cook it, even if you didn't eat it, B, to eat it if it was cooked, and C, to derive benefit from it if it was cooked. That's the classic interpretation. That's what you'll see in Rashi, how to understand the three times that it's mentioned. The Mechilta brings a variety of different opinions, about 8-10 different opinions from different Tannaim. It quotes Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, "Mepnei ma nemar b'gimel makomos." Why is it that it says it three times? So Rabbi Yishmael says something very interesting. Keneged shalosh brisos shekaras HaKadosh Baruch Hu im Yisrael, corresponds to the three covenants that God made with the Jewish people. Achas b'chorev, v'achas b'arvos mo'av, v'achas b'har grizam v'har eval. Three different times in Jewish history in the desert, in that extended stay, there was another covenant, another treaty made between the Jews and God that, for some reason, requires that Lo Tavashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo is repeated each time. Interesting why that would be. Perhaps we might suggest a theory, an idea that I saw from the Hadar Zakenim. Immediately following what we find in our parsha, right after Lo Tavashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, it says, "Ksov l'cha es hadvarim ha'ela, k'alpi hadvarim ha'ela karati itcha bris." Write down these things, because through these things we made the covenant. What is this referring to? What does this have to do with Lo Tavashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo? So the Hadar Zakenim, based on the Medrash, explains, Moshe comes up to heaven and says, "I'd like the Torah." The Malachim say to God, "Ma enosh ki says karenu. What is man? Why would you give man the Torah?" Amar lehem, God says to the Malachim, "Halo achaltam basar v'chalo b'beis Avraham." You know, if you think back to that whole story with Avraham, when they came and the angels visited, they ate chema v'chalo v'bakar. They ate basar v'chalov, and so they had an infraction. So Amar lehem, Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. So based on this, that's why you get to have the Torah. Ksav l'cha sadvarim ki alpi hadvarim ha'ele. Based on this, karati itcha bris. Based on Lo Tavashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, I did not give the Torah to the Malachim. I just gave it to you. That might have something to do with this covenantal explanation that Rabbi Shmuel is giving. There were three covenants, so that's why these three covenants were all based on the Malachim underperforming in the time of Avraham. Now, of course, there's a whole discussion back then with Avraham, how that happened, what happened over there, whether it was okay, how it was okay, but that's for a different time. The rabbis continue in this mechilta, offering different explanations for the three times. Rabbi Yishai explains, he says, why does it say it three times? Achas labehemi v'achas l'chaya v'achas l'of. And we do not hold this way. He says that it applies to all sorts of different types of animals. It applies to domesticated animals, behema, which classically we understand this prohibition to apply to, v'achas l'chaya, even to undomesticated animals, like a deer, which halacha l'maisa, practically we do not hold like, v'achas l'of, and also to include fowl, include birds. And this was a big debate in the Gemara, and he's assuming that the reason it repeats is to include all of this. Obviously, we don't hold like this. Other Tanaim that are quoted over here understand that the repetition, one includes behema gasa, large animals, one v'achas le'izim, one includes a goat, smaller animals, v'achas le'rochelim, and one includes sheep. And so the idea of it being repeated includes different types of animals. Of course, there's the classic, which is it includes an iser bishul. You can't cook it, you can't eat it, you can't derive benefit from it. What perhaps is the most interesting is one of these opinions suggests that the reason that it refers to two times and surrounding the circumstances of the Beis HaMikdash, shalosh pamim hashana, you're going to come and be ola l'regel, you're going to come to Jerusalem, and then the third time, it doesn't refer to it that way, and Devarim refers to it as lo sochel kol nevela, you can't eat these non-kosher things, these non-kosher animals, and also lo savah shel gadi b'chalev imo. So what's that all about? So I would think, lo shamanu lo bizman shahabikurim noagin u'b'mokom shahabikurim noagin. I would only think that the connection is that if you would have a prohibition, lo savah shel gadi b'chalev imo, it would only apply when you would have bikurim, when you would have these first fruits. If you don't have the first fruits, then it would not be considered a problem. Kamash malon, so comes the psukim and devarim to say, no, it's eternal, it's always. Just like lo tochel kol nevela, the fact that you can't eat an animal which was killed in an improper way applies whether or not there's a Beis HaMikdash or not. So too, this applies whether there's a Beis HaMikdash or not. Now, how would that be? What would have changed? So the Meshech Chachma explains that really, originally, it was the case that lo tavash el gadim b'chalev imo would only apply when the Beis HaMikdash stood. And he says, yitachein, de'achar shiluach meraglim, after the meraglim did their thing, v'yema'asu be'eretz chemda, and they despised and they treated disgustingly the Eretz Chemda, the beloved land of Eretz Yisrael. V'yusa yadol lehem lahapil osam gayim lezor osam ba'aratzos. And so they were treated like any of the other nations because of their lack of appreciation of Eretz Yisrael. So perhaps that is what caused that lo tamashal gadi b'chalev imo would now apply even when we were out of Eretz Yisrael, even when we no longer had this status of the Beis HaMikdash being built. A novel idea by the Meshech Chachma. Now, this whole connection to the Beis HaMikdash is classically understood by the Rambam to be very specific. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim explains this mitzvah, and he says that this is really all about the idolatry, idol worship of the surrounding nations, which involved in some way in their festivals the mixing of milk and meat. And in order to avoid the way they did things, so the Torah prohibits lo tamash el gidi b'chalev imo, every single time we go up, shalosh pam b'shana yira'e kol zechurcha, every single time we go up to the Beis HaMikdash to do our types of worship, we're reminded we worship like we worship, we don't worship like they worship. And so that's a really important point that the Rambam makes, and he ties the whole thing to shalosh pam b'shana. And he says, even though he doesn't have proof, he hasn't found these practices in any of the books of idolatry that he read, or at least the pagan books and their sources, he hasn't found it there. He believes it's so because of the context of Lo Tamash Al Gadi B'Chalev Imo always occurring around Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana. Some people point to the practices that they have relating to the Bikurim, that it was a fertilizer. They used to use the milk and the meat together to be able to fertilize crops, so that maybe you would think that in order to make Bikurim and to have hardy and robust trees, you would use as fertilizer in order to, even if you're not eating it, in order to make a more robust tree to be able to bring Bikurim. No, you bring Bikurim and still, Lo Tabashel Gadi B'Chalev Imo. The Rashbam, the Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, Rabbi Nebachya, all offer other alternative explanations for why lo tavash el gadi b'chalev imo. Then I'll just end with one, the Sefer HaChinuch. Maybe we'll get to the others a different time. The idea is that some things are just not supposed to be mixed. And there's evidence, as he points out, to this, because, again, you're prohibited from even mixing it, even if you don't eat it. So whereas others point to the fact that you're eating it, that's evil and that's wrong, and there's something wrong with the eating, there seems to be something wrong with the actual mixtures. And so the Chinuch points out that there are things that are not supposed to be mixed. The Rikanti suggests that over here, the chalav, which has to do with the female, and the basar, which could theoretically have to do with the male, that is rachamim and din. You're not supposed to put the two of them, mercy and judgment, strict justice, together. They're supposed to be kept separate. Others understand that it's the achzarius, it's the cruelty of doing the mother and the kid in the milk all together. It's just too cruel. And even if it's not necessarily the mother's milk, symbolically, it's the same, or you're never sure that it isn't exactly the same thing. But in any event, the prohibition is extreme. It's prohibited in three different types of ways, and we see how this prohibition has been taken in so many directions with so many things that really make up the modern kitchen. Have a great day.